We're going to turn this evening to the book of Ephesians. It's chapter 5 and to verse 14. Chapter 5 and verse 14. My subject this evening is waking the soul. Waking the soul. This is one verse that we're going to look at this evening. We don't normally do this, but we can take this verse completely out of context because it's clearly meant to be a verse to speak out, to speak loudly, and to speak directly to us. Some verses in the Word of God are like that. They stand out so brightly with such directness. And whilst we should always look at the context, this particular verse is such a familiar theme, and it really just pulls together so many of the strands of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the verse we're turning to is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. And we'll just read this one verse. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Well, this verse is very simple. It's so straightforward. The very youngest person here this evening can understand every single word. There's no complicated words. This is for children. This is for adults. And yet at the same time, there is a profundity or profoundness or depth which is contained within this verse that if this was the only verse that you had, you would have the gospel. It's full of theology and understanding of God. It's full of spiritual life, understanding how spiritual life can begin. And it's full of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every part of it is in exactly the correct order. It shows us an understanding and a theology of how a person who is outside of Christ can come to life, can become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So simple and profound at the same time. In the Greek, the original language that this verse was written in, there are just 15 words. I don't know which translation you have tonight, but in most of our English versions, it has around 20. But there are 7 words that we're going to look at tonight. 7 words. We could call this 7 words to save you from spiritual disaster. So, waking the soul, or 7 words to save you from spiritual disaster. And just before we look at these 7 words, let's notice to start with, there is 2 commands in this verse. We don't like commands. Human nature doesn't like to be told what to do, but we're told to do 2 things in this verse. We're told to wake up, and we're told to rise up. Again, in the original, that's 1 word each. In our translation, it's awake thou. And the second word is arise. And the word means rise up. So there's 2 commandments, but there's also 2 people. There's you and your soul, that's 1. And there is the person giving the commandment, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 people. That's all that matters in life. No one else, not a priest, not a parent, no one else, not a minister, just you and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what life's about. It's about your relationship with Him. That's what true religion is about. It's not about anybody else except for you and your God. So, 2 commands and 2 characters. The second character is clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ shall give thee light, it says. This is Christ who is the creator, Christ who is the designer, the maker, and also the only saviour of all the world, the same saviour who willingly allowed himself to be taken and to be put on a cross. He was taken willingly by wicked hands and crucified so that he could give life, light, forgiveness, and life eternal. Well, this verse is a quote. In some Bibles, you'll notice that this verse is in italics. And it's thought by some that this was possibly a hymn that was sung, particularly at the time of a believer's baptism, when they go through the waters, that picture, that symbol, that they've died to this world and that they've risen again and they now have new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't be sure of that. It's a quote from two verses, we won't turn to them, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 26:19, and the chapter we looked at, Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. So, this is a quote from the Old Testament. And in the context it's given, where it's about teaching to believers and duties of husbands and wives and a whole load of other things, this verse is designed to grab your attention. And so I hope we can do that this evening. If you understand these seven simple words, you understand the message of the gospel. If you obey these two commandments, you will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's also one thing just before we get into the words. There's a promise contained in here. There is that word, shall or will. There is something absolutely definite that will happen if you follow the two commandments. So this is a verse of treasure, a verse of promise, and a verse where you can come to new life through this one verse. So let's look at the seven words this evening that will save you from spiritual disaster. The first is simply that word, awake, or awake you, awake thou. The first instruction and command, and it's addressed to you personally. The beauty of preaching is you can speak to many people, and at the same time, you can speak to each person individually. And when the Lord God deals with people, he can deal with families, he can deal with churches, but he mostly deals with individuals. And the word of God and light and understanding comes to each person at a different time. He's addressing this to you and to your soul, that part of you that will never die. Why do people fear death? Because their soul will never die. Their body will die, but their soul will go on. And he's addressing this to the soul that's inside you that's currently dead. If you haven't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul is sleeping. It's there, it has potential, but it doesn't have life. So this is designed to wake you up, not from physical sleep, but from, the word means, a moral sleep. Your soul is unaware that it's asleep. You live life as an unbeliever, as I did as an unbeliever, thinking that everything is fine. Thinking that in everybody else's view, you're a fine person. Thinking that you're better than other people, perhaps. But unaware that the way God sees your life and your soul is very different to the way you think of your own soul. So this word awake is designed to lift you up from a sleep that you're in so that you become aware of what God sees you. The word for awake implies that you have a sloth. It's an old-fashioned word. It means laziness, lethargy. It means you're asleep when it comes to moral things. You might be alive to physical things and to pleasures and to joys and to heartaches, but when it comes to your soul and your moral dimension, which we all have, you're unaware. That's the problem of human nature. We think in a one dimension, but God sees us in a second dimension. He sees what we're really like. He knows exactly what we've done, what we've said, what we haven't done, what we haven't said, and he even knows our thoughts. Those thoughts, perhaps of pride, of hatred, those thoughts of lies, those thoughts and plans and schemes. You see, God knows us altogether better than we do. We look at our life through our own eyes, and we're a little bit optimistic, aren't we? Very often. Very often. We see through our own spectacles, and we have a low standard, and we meet that standard, don't we? Very often. We set our own standards. They're not ones of absolute perfection and holiness, which the Lord God Almighty has. But we reach those standards, and so we think we're fine. Well, this verse is the same verse, or same word, as we read in our second scripture reading, in the book of Matthew 25, where the 10 virgins are described, 5 of them, as slumbering, sleeping. They were unaware what was really going to happen, unthoughtful about the future, unprepared. They were switched off. That's what we can be like. 5 of them were wide awake, prepared, ready. They knew what the future held, and they were ready for it. But 5 were fast asleep. Spiritually, this is a picture of being unaware of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the parable, the bridegroom was coming. That's a picture of Christ. Perhaps that's like us, unaware that Christ will one day come again, and on that day, our moral unawareness will be exposed, and we'll have nothing to say unless we've had forgiveness, unless we have woken up, and unless we've come to him. So the second word is here, awake thou that sleepest, or as the original really means, sleeping one. Awake, sleeping one. Well, sleep is a wonderful gift, isn't it? I can't imagine there's anybody here this evening that doesn't enjoy good sleep. I have 5 teenagers. None of them are here tonight, so don't worry. 5 teenagers in one family. They all love sleep. Sleep is a wonderful gift. It restores, it heals, it refreshes, it breaks one day from the next day. It means that we can start again after the failures or the disappointments of another day. But at the same time, sleep is a very dangerous thing. And the picture here is a spiritual picture, not physical. It's not about pillows and duvets. This is about your soul. Sleep seems to be a good thing. But in the picture here, it's a picture of a very dangerous position that the person is in, a very vulnerable condition. What happens in a fire if you're asleep and the smoke is starting and you can't smell it because in your sleep your senses are dulled? You certainly can't see any flames because your eyes are closed. And the only thing that might wake you is the heat or the noise, unless you're a sound sleeper, where you may sleep right through. That's why we have smoke alarms, and why the fire brigade are so keen to see them fitted in every building. It's even law now. So it's a very vulnerable position to be in, sleep. Everything seems fine. Sleep's good, isn't it? No, not when it's spiritual. Some struggle to sleep. I have a relative, and sometimes she can go a couple of nights without sleeping at all. That's a very difficult condition. But when it comes to your soul, it's very dangerous to be asleep. What happens if the thief comes in the night? We're vulnerable. We don't really know where the thief is, unless you're a light sleeper. What happens if the alarm goes off? All of a sudden, we're slower to react to these dangers and these circumstances around us. And that's the picture of us spiritually. We're asleep. And the Lord is saying to us tonight, this is the way I view you. You are a sleeper and you need to wake up, because you're in a very dangerous, vulnerable, precarious position because you're unaware, just like the person with the fire going at night, perhaps slowly, and then it gets bigger and we get used to the smoke and we're vulnerable. Well, he calls you tonight to wake up. That's the command. Wake up. That's the first thing that happens when a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to wake up. They need to suddenly see themselves as God sees them. They need to look within at their own soul and their moral condition, and they need to acknowledge and confess that they're a sinner. It's as simple as that. We're so unaware, we like to carry on as though no problem at all. Fast asleep, snoring away, perhaps even speaking in our sleep. And often we speak nonsense. And the Lord wants us to wake up and confess our sin. So the first command tonight, don't stay asleep. Don't hide. Don't pretend to be asleep. Wake up. Get your senses alert. And then here we come to the third word that will save your soul. It's this. It's arise in our authorized version, or rise up. The picture changes. This is the second command. Wake up. And secondly, rise up. Now, this seems very similar, doesn't it? But it's subtly different. The person is now awake, but they haven't moved. They're flat on their backs. Do you ever have children like that? I had one this morning. I tried to wake him up. He wouldn't move. I knew he was awake. He wouldn't get off his back. He was awake, but he was motionless. Not an arm movement. Certainly not a leg movement. Horizontal. In the same position as though he was asleep. And this is the picture of us at the second stage. I've now woken up. I know I'm a sinner. I know God is holy. I know that one day I'll have to stand before him. I know that I will be judged for my sin. I have a record behind me and I can't deal with it. And the command says, rise up. Not just wake up, but rise up. Get off your back. Stand up and start to realize you have a soul. You're not like the other creatures. You have a God. He made you. And he calls you to meet with him now and to make peace with him. You have to go to him. You can't stay on your back. There's no point being awake to sin and to moral matters and to your soul unless you make motion towards him. You need to move, not far. He's the one that comes to find you when you're still afar off. But he calls you to get up, to stand up, and to arise. Get out of your bed, as it were, and return to your God, and make your peace with him. But then the fourth word is this. It says, arise from the dead. Well, one minute you were asleep, you had life, it seems, and you are called to awake out of the sleep. Then it says we're asleep. Then it says stand up, and now we're dead again. What does this mean? It all seems confusing. The picture has changed. This time, the person is not asleep, but spiritually they're like a dead corpse. That's what that word dead means in the original. Literally, a person who has no real life. They have one kind of life. They're breathing. They might be thinking. They might be alert. They might have their senses about them, smelling, touching. They might be able to taste. But they don't have a spiritual dimension to their life. Spiritually, they are inactive. It's the same word used in Matthew 8:22, where the Lord Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead." How can dead people bury dead people? Seems an impossibility. But the spiritually dead can bury the physically dead. And that's exactly what it means. The Lord Jesus said, "Let the dead spiritually bury their dead," the physical dead, "but you follow me." He was already speaking to those who were no longer spiritually dead. They were just on their backs, horizontal. They hadn't yet got up and followed the Lord Jesus. It's the same word used. You don't need to refer to it back in Ephesians chapter 2, where the Lord Jesus, rather Paul in Ephesians, says, "You were dead, but he has quickened and made you alive." So now, the fourth word, you're dead. You need to wake up and you need spiritual life. You need to be alive to the calls of God. You might be alive to the world. You might have desires for pleasure. You might have plans in life. But spiritually you're still inactive. So that's the first four words. The first four words: awake, the sleeping one, rise up, the dead one. And we come to the fifth word, and it's the word Christ. This is the center, not literally, of the verse, but in terms of its meaning, this is what the whole verse rotates around. The centerpiece, the sun, as it were. Who can awaken me? Who can give me new life for my spiritually dead corpse? Who can give me the strength that I desire? Only Christ. Christ shall give thee light. That's the promise. Christ. No therapy, no yoga, no mindfulness, that popular term of today, no special breathing, no new medicine, no music, no celebrity, no new partner or friend. Only Christ can give and will give light to you. He's all you need. You know, the message of the gospel is so simple. We point everybody to the same person, to the same place, to the same act of him dying on Calvary's cross. He's all you need. He's done it already. What do you need? You need your soul to be stirred. That's the waking up part. You need your conscience to be troubled. That's as you begin to be convicted of your sin. You need to see him in all his kindness and compassion and love. But then you need help. You need to be able to believe his promises, a promise like this: Christ shall, will give you light. And then you need his help to obey these two commandments, to awake and to arise. And you need Christ to show you that without him you are in darkness, because that's the definition of this verse. Why do I need light? I need light because I'm in darkness. It says in verse 11, talking to Christians, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's how this world is described spiritually, as being full of unfruitful, unuseful works of darkness. But Christ, in verse 14, tells us that we are to be in the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Well, that's the fifth word. We come to the sixth. How can this happen? How can I waken up? How can I arise? How can I have Christ give me light? Well, the word says, shall give, in our translation. In the original it means will shine. Will shine. It's definite. Not maybe, not perhaps, but here is the promise. Christ will shine light. There are so few definite things in life. Most promises have conditions. This one doesn't. If you've woken up, if you've risen up, you will have light. Christ will shine upon you. Just ask and you will receive it. Just believe and you will know the light that he gives. He will even give you the desire for this light. If you find these things, they make sense. You know that you are a sinner. You have woken up and you're very aware of your sin and your moral condition. And you want to stand up and you want the light. Christ will give you even the desire for these things to become even more real. Well, the final word, the seventh word this evening, is that word light. What does that mean? Light? Why do I need a light? I can see perfectly well in my own eyes, I think. Well, the word is very similar to that word that we use in some circles, epiphany. It means to have an illumination, a bit like the Apostle Paul. His light on that road to Damascus was an illumination. He had, we call it an epiphany moment. But the word is slightly different here because it generally means a gradual light, a bit more like the sun rising up. Christ will shine upon you the light of divine truth. That's what the word means here. You see, as I turn to him, I'm now awake, I've stood up, I'm looking to him, and gradually the light is dawning. He's showing me more and more about myself, about the world around me, about himself and what he's done on the cross, and he awakens me. And the truth starts to dawn, perhaps slowly to start with. There are some parts of the world where the sun comes up very quickly. When you're near the equator, it's almost like a light switch going on. When you're far away, it takes a bit further. And that can be the experience with us. For some, it comes very fast. For others, it's a progressive understanding. But the light will shine. It will come if we ask him. Christ will give this light. Do you know when it happens? Your feelings, your spiritual feelings come to life. I start to feel my sin. I start to feel a desire for Christ and for all that he has done. I start to love him. My spiritual senses have been awoken, and now I'm coming to understanding and light. Do you know that's Christian conversion? Those seven words are the process through which Christ takes a sleeping or a dead soul and brings it to life and brings it to understanding and shines upon that individual. So the call tonight is to repent. The call is to turn to Him, to trust Him, and your soul will come alive and will be active. And now you'll be devoted to Him and you'll have a living, active, spiritual life. Let's read the verse once more. Wherefore, He saith, awake thou, wake up, thou that sleepest, and arise, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give thee the light of life.